So good stuff. So let me welcome our guests. In week 7, we spent about 20 minutes talking about producers. In that call, I gave you my 8 ways to enter a producer's inner circle in a really good way, ways not to be obnoxious and ways to be of service to them before you ever even got started. Those are all really good ways that I've used successfully or coached others in using. I want you to use those 8 ways. They're great. And today, we have a guest who's going to take us deep into the den of producers, and we're going to get to kind of look behind the curtain and see what it looks like when acts are coming to them. I said this a lot on our calls and in our follow-up materials. This business is about relationships. I have on here until you're Bob Newhart, because there's just such a great story about him. there's a lot of great stories about him. He doesn't worry about building relationships, put it that way. And I think in an audio I'm going to share with you after this call, another producer who I interviewed for the first round of Showbiz Blueprint tells a great Bob Newhart story. So business is about relationships and fostering those, and that's something our guest today has done really well. I've worked with this producer over the past 10 years at different shows around the country and wiggled my way onto his roster because we do a great job and because we've built a professional relationship through follow-ups. I used to talk about I have talked about on this program how my database used to have over 1,000 producers on it, and you know, I'd send out materials and DVDs and blah 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 and all this stuff. And finally, business got a lot better when I whittled it down to around 40 or 50. And this guy will never be off that list, of course. His history in this business, he mixes passion with solid business practices and good relationship building. He started as a DJ, which I just learned yesterday, and then found himself being active. You know, book shows. Can you book a show for this as you're doing the DJ? And then he started producing the shows and then overseeing talent for all kinds of corporate productions. And now with over 20 years of corporate booking experience, you know, the thing I really like about Carl is he's just a real guy, you know, doing real shows, building on ongoing relationships, selling acts. You know, we aren't going to get lost in the shuttle here today, in the shuffle here today with an intern or an assistant. Our guest today is on the front lines doing this stuff. And this is your chance. I highly encourage you to get your fingers ready. Sarah's got the lines muted, but press a button. Jump in there if you have a question. This is your chance to get in behind the curtain and discover exactly how we can best serve producers. Just press 1 on your phone if you got something going on. Yeah, let's do that. So, Carl Peterson from PM Productions, based out of Chicago. And welcome, Carl, to the show. Are you, oh, look at this. Some good photos of you here. Yep, this is Evander. And who's this? This is Lonnie who? Who's that?
That's Lonnie Brooks.
Lonnie Brooks, right. And
he's a blues artist here in Chicago. He's fairly known all around the country.
Right. Good. And doing a show with him. And then Evander giving you a right hook.
Evander, yeah, that was at a trade show we did.
Yeah, good. And here's a picture of him. Carl's only 18. You can tell from his bar mitzvah photo here, which is nice. So good.
I haven't aged a bit.
Exactly. Yeah, staying young.
It's a pleasure being here. Thank you for having me on, Barry.
Good. I want to welcome you to our group here and get people from around the world here who are, you know, just always looking to up the business. So, yeah.
Sure.
Well, good. So, you know, this is a great opportunity for us to not just talk about, you know, experience of what it's been like, but to get a look from your side about what does it look like. And you know, one thing I wanted to ask you is how often are you contacted by acts, you know, wanting to work with you?
Well, I am. I get emails all the time from acts all over the country or North America, really, including Canada, of people wanting to work with us. I get a lot of action from my website. People, I think, just Google corporate entertainment or something like that. They find my website, and they just shoot off emails constantly to my office.
Right. Yeah. And what's that like to be on the other end of that onslaught? And what do you see as a trend of how people are handling themselves and doing it?
Well, we kind of talked about this before, you know, it's not the best way to contact our office is just by, you know, Googling and just shooting off emails saying, hey, take a look at my website.
Mm-hmm.
It's impersonal. Doesn't motivate me to check out websites or give you a call. If they're looking for representation or an opportunity to work with our office, it's always best to you know, call us first.
Yeah.
Give us a heads up that you'd like to send us a link to the website, or you'd like to send us a video, or whatever the case might be.
Yeah, it's kind of falls on a respectful place of just getting permission.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, from time to time, I will click on a link if it looks like something that I might be of interest, or if just by chance I had someone asking me about a certain type of act.
Yeah.
And I get an email, I'll click on it, I'll review the website. But again, it's always best to give us a call, let us ask where they should send that email to, and then go forward from that point.
Yeah, get an email address that actually makes sense, too, and maybe set up for that, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, not just the info at.
Yeah, good. That's a great tip. And, you know, we have spent some time on this program really going through an effective cold call, conversational cold call procedure that's worked extremely well for me, and I've adapted from some masters in the field that I've learned from. What do you like to hear on a phone when you just get a blank call like that, you know, a random call?
Well, again, I would it should be short.
Yeah.
The initial call should be fairly short. Just an introduction of who they are, what they've done, why they're calling. You know, are they looking for national representation? Are they only in L.A.? Are they only in New York?
I see. Yeah.
Ask who we could who they could send a link to their website.
Okay, good.
To watch the video, and then. Maybe follow that up with an additional email a week later, or another phone call.
Yeah, right. Oh, good. Oh, that's great.
Calls in the middle of the day when we're all working on proposals, projects, what have you, might be on site somewhere and having our phone forwarded to our cell phones. It's not always the best time to have a long call to try to introduce what you do.
Gotcha. Really, yeah. Good feedback. Yeah, so keeping it short and, maybe in a time that's not, middle of the day working time, so maybe earlier or later.
When you call, just say, you know, is it a good time to talk? When would be a good time to talk? I'd like to introduce you, you know, to my act and, is it a need for you?
Yeah.
And we're always looking for new talent, always welcome new talent. But if it's something that we might not just have or thought of, we'll be honest and say, you know, we haven't had that opportunity to work with something like that. I mean, you're more than welcome to send us a link.
Yeah.
Good.
What kind of process do you have for bringing in new blood? I mean, I imagine you like to see people live whenever possible, or recommendations.
Yeah, absolutely. Live is always best. I do go to showcases around the country, so it's great to showcase your talent when you can.
Mm.
If you have an opportunity to invite me out to a live performance, that's always welcome. It's not always available though, and I understand that. We understand that, but. Any kind of recommendations that you have from performers that might work with our office already?
Yeah, okay.
That's one way of getting into our files here. Having a really good quality website and a good quality video if we can't see you live.
I'm thinking about my introduction to you, and I think it was, I believe, I'm not positive about this, but I think I invited you to a show we were doing in Chicago one time, and for some reason that's coming to mind, so, yeah. And I had shared earlier in this call how in our rider we have a line at the bottom that says capacity for up to 6 guests for the entertainment
right.
portion of the show, and that's a great thing to have in your rider, just exactly for that situation.
Right.
To be able to get someone in to see
you. Yeah, it's a great idea.
Yeah, works well. Never really got slack for that, except at a really tight pharmaceutical thing, which I can understand one time. They don't know who those are, so. So, you know, Carl, it's interesting to look at. When you said, you know, you're always looking for new talent, and with every time you do something new, there's kind of risks and rewards. Do you have any stories or experiences you can share kind of about the risks or rewards of working with someone new and how that sits with the PM production philosophy?
Well, of course, the biggest risk is the unknown of not knowing, you know, if we haven't had an opportunity to see you live, you know, is the show is as good as advertised on the website or on the video. You know, we've seen a lot of acts, we've seen a lot of videos, so we kind of can narrow some of those down. But when we go forward and do work with someone that we haven't worked with in the past or seen live, you know, that risk is, you know, is it as good as on the video? The other risk is always reliability.
Yeah.
And then interaction with our clients.
Gotcha.
That is huge for us. What kind of interaction that, you know, how will you talk with our clients? Of course, and I'm sure you went over this, Barry, in your classes or seminar, that you represent us that night.
Yeah.
And not yourselves necessarily with, you know, passing out cards or advertising websites, things like that. You're representing us, and you should talk to our clients with, as the Raspini brothers has always done,
yeah,
with the utmost respect.
Right, right.
You know, clients come up with some crazy stuff, and it's our job as the producer to try to be the middleman on, you know, last-minute requests, things like that, and it's probably best to allow the producer to do that versus saying yes or no to the clients.
Gotcha. So really allowing you guys to kind of stay in control of the airplane as if you're the captains and we're even more
right.
Flight. Yeah, that's really important. I can think of some times when I could have made decisions and I just said, wow, let's go talk to Carl. Let's go talk to the producer about this and see how they want to do it. So that's good. You know, and you mentioned something, you know, how do you show and how do you interact? I mean, for that night, they are really... to some extent, to a very powerful extent, a part of your team. You know, may as well be a staff of PM Productions.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's how we look at it. You're an extension of our company. You're representing PM Productions that night. And it's very important. I mean, we're only as good as the talent that we bring in. And that, of course, is the reward of working with new talent, is that we have excellent talent coming in. Our client is happy, giving them what they're asked for, what they've asked for, and giving them a great show.
Yeah,
that's the reward.
Absolutely. Now you're in a city where a lot of events take place, and where you get to see a lot of talent kind of come in and out and through the city. And you know, you said you see live what you can. What's the next best thing, though, to getting to see an act live? You know, is it testimonials, written video testimonials, recommendations? What could someone do who doesn't get to be in front of you live?
Again, I'll refer back to the video. You know, I've seen videos where it was done in looks like somebody's basement, and
okay,
that's not going to be a great representation of your act. If you're not proud of it, don't send it. Don't have it out there.
Gotcha. Okay.
So we always will look at videos, testimonials, of course. If that's on the video, that's great. A list of testimonials. If you know, if you're working a lot in, you know, San Francisco or LA or wherever you might be working a lot, and you know, you have a good relationship with some of the producers out there,
yeah,
feel free to list that to us, because we're good friends with a lot of people around the country.
Oh, that's good, yeah.
So if you know some producers in your area that you have a great relationship, just mention it. Say, hey, do you know Peter Berliner out of San Francisco?
Yeah.
Whatever the case might be. I work with him a lot, and that's always a big plus.
Yeah. Oh, that's excellent. Yeah.
I know if a guy like Peter is booking you, I know you're going to be a good act.
Man, yeah, take notice of that, you guys. This goes back to the very beginning of this call when I talked about, you know, looking at the embers we have that are sitting there. Who are people that, you know, someone like Carl or someone in Carl's position might know who you've, you know, had good success with, and you think, geez, how am I going to get in front of that person? Yeah, maybe you don't have to. You know, maybe a great letter or a phone call from that person could be a great door opener. Oh, that's wonderful. Good. Yeah. So, and then at the first event, you know, let's say we get to this place and whatever has brought a new piece, a new performer to your stage, and what can we do to, you know, just kind of blow your mind at the beginning, besides kicking butt in our show? You know, what can we do to just make you say, holy cow, where you been for the last 20 years?
What can you do? You can be always flexible. Again, I know there's a, our clients always throw things at us last minute, you know, whether it be timing or, you know, room changes or rehearsal times or whatever.
Yeah.
If you're flexible and you don't make a big deal out of those things, that is a big plus for us.
Nice.
If it's the first time that we've worked together, and this has happened to me quite a few times, it's always great to meet prior to meeting with the client. It's always great not to have you walk in the room and say, are you Carl Pearson?
Yeah.
Have them say, no. I mean, it's always nice to let, at least give my client the appearance that we know each other, that we've worked together, and that you know, the show is going to be great. That I'm not just throwing someone up on stage for them that we've never worked with before.
Wow, what a great tip. Yeah.
That
sounds like a tip that really comes from something that might have happened in real life. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's got to be an embarrassing moment for you.
It's happened, and, you know, my client has actually, you know, brought the talent over to me and said, here's Carl Pearson.
Yikes.
And I'm like, you know, a little embarrassing.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, that's a really, really, really good tip. Just to...
And then, of course, when you do, when we meet, and then I always like to introduce the talent to my client.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, be very respectful of them.
Yeah. Good. That's really good. You know, let you make that intro. Yeah, that's... Yeah, I mean, this
if
is...
If I didn't mention it, first off, being on time.
Be early.
It really helps a lot.
Yeah.
Early.
Yeah, be early, always. Great. Never wait. It's funny, you...
You say we're going to meet
at
6, let's be there at 5.
Absolutely, why not? You know, it's funny, and you mentioned flexible before. I have this great line, and I've never shared this with the folks on this call, but when I'm at an event and the producer says, hey, you know, we're going to go on at 9 instead of 8, you know, or whatever it is, things get bumped. I mean, that's just the way it is. These are one-time events, and they happen in real time. My favorite line for that is, I just say, hey, my flight's tomorrow morning at 10. Until then, let's just do whatever it takes. And I just tell them what time my flight is. And I don't care if we do a show at midnight. It's all just, you know, these one-night things. And that line, especially just said that way, is like, I'm here for you.
Yeah, and I think that actually happened to us last time we worked together, Barry, if you recall, here in Chicago, that we had an event, and the client was all over with the time, and the dinner was in a separate room, and they had
I remember that.
And they brought him in early, and
right.
So you guys were great to work with there.
And then Dan, my partner, was totally drunk. That didn't help. No, I'm kidding. He was. That doesn't
again.
Yeah, again! Man, I hate when that happens. That was funny. Well, so that's great. These are really good... you know, just practical ways to run the business online, you know, in person, where you're at, kind of connecting and connecting with the client. Let me ask you something that's kind of a trend in the industry, though. What's it looking like these days? What are producers buying and trends in various price ranges now, you know? Like, you know, what's happening under 5K and under 10, 25 in those ranges? What's happening?
We're pretty busy in the under 10, you know, whether that be between 5 and 10 and $5,000 price range.
Yeah.
We're pretty busy with that. When we start getting up to 15 and above, that business is slacked off a little bit. I'm not saying it's not out there.
Yeah.
It's just not as prevalent.
Yeah, okay.
As far as what our clients are willing to spend. A lot of that, another trend is being last-minute business. When I say that, I mean, you know, maybe a month out.
Yeah.
And I know there's, you know, the acts like to get their asking price, but if you're not working a month out and you want to start a relationship with our office or just go out there and work, it's always great that you're a little bit flexible on your pricing and your needs as well.
Okay. Yeah, so, I mean, the less than a month out thing is really a new phenomena, and I think that may not go away for some of these under 10K gigs, just because people have access to better communication, internet, doing videos. I mean, I know I've been to a trade show. Is my voice breaking up right now? Is that all right? Can you hear me okay?
Well, it's better.
Okay.
You've been breaking up a little bit, but it's kind of going in and out.
Sorry about that. Yeah, not sure. I wish I had some indication that was happening. Well, I do. I have Sarah telling me. Thank you for that, Sarah. So, yeah, being flexible and, you know, the ability for clients to kind of put things together last minute and, you know, they may know the market. And this is something that we talk about on our program here and our way of doing business here is just being of ultimate service and being there available to do customized video introductions, to go out of the way to do pre-commitment client calls, you know, whatever it is. Yeah, flexibility on price, what you need, travel. Yeah, all good stuff to help.
And going on price, Barry, I did sit in on a little bit of the call before you introduced me, which mm-hmm. I appreciated listening on, and mm-hmm. I know there was a question about pricing and, you know, where they were last year and versus this year.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just because they spent $20,000 last year doesn't mean that they're going to do it this year, especially in this environment with the way people are scrutinizing their budgets. I keep it, and if someone quotes me $20,000 for this particular event, I'll know that that's the price range that they want to be, and I won't be calling them for the $10,000 prices, $10,000 job.
Right, right. I think that particular case was with an end client, not a producer, and I think he had just gotten some word. So, yeah, I mean, certainly we can use, and I'm sure you do as well, with your clients to kind of find out who they booked in the past to kind of get an idea of their price range, you know, that they
right.
may be looking at, yeah. Of course, as a producer, I'm sure they come to you right away with, hey, here's what we have for this, or, you know, you get to kind of work with them to give them some options of what they can have in different price ranges. So it's
yeah, that's huge for us right now. Our clients ask for like a laundry list for lack of a better term, of what's available in different price ranges.
Yeah, right.
We've been doing more and more of that over the last couple of years, checking availabilities and confirming you know, the asking price, cost of the act, and then passing that along to our clients, and they kind of pick and choose what they want.
Yeah, that's good. And within that, I'm sure there's different levels. I don't know if it's just a name and a number, or I don't know if I've ever even sent you one of these, Carl, because you know your deal is pretty much when you call, you're at that place with your client where you're ready to go. There's kind of a customized video procedure that I've taught people on this page where we do a little PowerPoint with it's a couple minutes to music, and we talk about their event and offering something like that. I just know the times I've done that, I've stuck out on the laundry list in a really big way and usually landed the booking.
I brand
the video with PM Productions. I completely make it your video, but it's just a customized introduction to the act. So, yeah, good ways to stick out on a laundry list. It's great to think about that. You know, when someone calls and asks about availability and pricing, you may just be going on a list. Let's bookmark our place on the list with something that gives a lot.
How can I stand out?
Yeah, how can I give more value? Yeah, wonderful. Oh, good. Good takeaways on that. So let me ask you another thing. What would be your reaction? And I've done this. I've become a part of producers that I really wanted to work with. I became a part of Empire Entertainment's inner circle by doing this extract strategy, and I wonder if anyone's ever done it to you and how it would sit with you. What would be your reaction if a new act established professional, obviously, you just never worked with him, sent you a client that was who was ready to close a deal and just asked you to take care of the contract and as a way to get into your world?
I'd welcome it. Anytime.
Yeah.
If the client's ready to go or pretty much sold on that they want to use that act and you want to work with us, absolutely.
Yeah.
We'll figure some way to make it work.
Yeah,
it's
a good opening, and I know the one I did with Empire Entertainment is still a client of theirs because I see them in the newsletter sometimes. I'm like, wow, that was like 12 years ago just on an idea I had. Yeah,
I've actually had a couple people do that. Say, you know, they called me and said, you know, we're working on this business here. They're pretty close to wanting to book it. You just contract it. Honestly, it hasn't happened where it's actually worked out.
Okay.
But I have had a couple people approach me with that.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Yeah. So, I guess it's maybe a matter of time. And I mean, I look at it as a real, just a nice professional move as a way to include into that world. And also, you know, if I don't want to do the paperwork or I'm willing to give up, you know, 25% commission, who cares? To get into a producer's world that I really like. Good.
Right.
Yeah, you have talked about some ways that maybe you'll go and click on an act and take a look at a website they send you. I want to get your feedback in real time. We didn't talk about this in our preliminary call, but are you on our screen share, by the way?
I am.
Oh, good. So I just put this up here. This is a technique I've used for years. I probably have about 24 of these in this directory up here marked professional. This is something I've used to introduce myself to an agency, and I've had agencies use this. I've played with this headline a number of times since and come up with different ones. This is one I just grabbed for this demo. But this is a page that I built that an agency can just use. It's completely branded for each agency, I think, in a number of places. And I think I have our video down here. For some reason, it's not showing up right now. But their email here, their phone number here. So it's basically a branded little page. What would be your reaction if an act put something like this together just to kind of get your attention?
I think it would be fabulous. Anytime I need to sell your services to my client. So as much information as I have, as much promotional material that looks good I can send off to my client, the better. I can only have so much information on my site.
Yeah.
A little blurb, a video. But if there's more that you can send me and if it looks something like this where it's actually shown that we have a relationship together, that I think would be fantastic. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, good. That's interesting. I looked up my listing on your site yesterday, and you send people right to our agent-friendly website, which, you know, is a great example of that. So, yeah, maybe even having a customized page like this, to really just keep the user experience the same. They're like, oh, these guys, you know, really work with them. Here's a, you know, PM Productions name right up here. And yeah.
Right.
Interesting.
Right, yeah, that's great. And then you just mentioned the agent-friendly site. I really recommend that because, again, I can only have so much information on our site. And if you have an agent-friendly site, and where it says contact information, I think you might even have this, Barry, on your site. Is,
yep.
Contact your
right here.
Booking agent or producer, whatever the case might be.
Right, exactly, yeah, by meeting planners. And this is basically a duplicate of our other site, just with instead of contact info, there's just this little paragraph here represented by Better Meeting Planners.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And unfortunately, let me throw this out there too, Barry.
Please.
Is the fact that it's so easy to find talent on the internet these days. I don't know how many people come to our site and then, you know, look up the talent directly and book. I mean, that's almost impossible for me to track. But what is possible to track is the fact that if I talk to a client long enough, recommend an act, and then I call or email the act immediately just to give them a heads up that, hey, here's the date, here's the client, just as a heads up. It's always a really good ethical way of doing business is contacting our office should you get a call directly from that client.
I love doing that, yeah. I mean, when somebody calls me and says, we just put a hold on you for this company, man, that thing goes in my calendar, it goes in my notes, it goes on their producer place in my database, it goes everywhere. So, I really enjoy doing that. I even got a gig once with someone who didn't want to work with that producer again. They just didn't have a good experience. And that was fine. I went through and we did the gig, and when they got back, I sent that 25% commission to them in a check just with a letter. And, I wasn't the one to smooth over that relationship, and no matter what, I was not going to take that money. I knew directly where that came from. They told me they saw me at a conference that that person booked. So, just the way it was. Yeah, it's
good.
Short-term loss for long, long, long-term gains. Hey, Sarah, someone get a hand up?
Please,
go ahead. Go ahead, please, Carl.
I was just going to say, backing up to what we were talking about, what's a good thing to do when we first work together is just to assure our office that you understand that etiquette, that, you're, again, working for us, and that, should the client contact you directly in the future, that you would be, you would send them back to us.
Yeah. So, understand the client relationship. I mean, that's very important. Yeah, and that's a great little tip Carl just gave there is, don't expect that this is known. Mention it. Bring it up. Be the person to bring it up. How comforting is that for a producer to, that person actually brought that up to me. So, thanks for that. That's a good takeaway. I don't think I even do. Good. Someone up, Sarah?
Okay. If we have time for a question now. Larry, did you have you've got your hand up and your mic is on.
Yes, I have a question. Back to the when I seem to get a lot of producers, smaller end producers, which is why I'm trying to get up to bigger guys like you, that call and they seem to have no idea what the client's budget is ever, and it's like, well, what do you charge? It's like, and I was like, well, I'll try to work with you. What kind of range are we talking about? And if they just so we have no, and it's usually local stuff. So, I'll bid a little lower than my usual five to 10. But they still never have an idea. And I've passed up a lot of jobs because they want to pay locally, $1,000 or something like that. And I just won't do it. And do you, as a producer, need to have the client's budget before you start calling talent, wouldn't you? That'd be something
It is always a question we ask. And if they won't tell us the budget, then, as Barry alluded earlier, there's ways of finding that out by asking, okay, who we've had in the past. And they'll give us a good idea of where their budget is at. But that being said, I will say that's another trend in the industry is that clients are not tipping their hand as far as what their budget is. If we're going to a new act, and this just happened to me. There's an act that introduced themselves through another act that I work with frequently. I really enjoyed the video. I plan on having him on our website. My last conversation through email, I asked him, okay, what's your fee? What do you like to get locally or if you have to travel? And he says, well, I trust you that you'll get, a fair fee for us. That gives me, no idea what he really wants to have.
Right.
That being said, if we do come to you and we say, what's your fee? What do you like to have? I would stick with what your normal fee is and just say, I will be negotiable if needed. We try to get what the talent's asking for. If the client is interested, and we need to work with the pricing, we'll just come back to you and say, okay, they're interested. We quoted them X amount of dollars. We know that it's a little bit above. They said it could probably go forward with Y dollars. Mm-hmm. Are you interested? But a lot of, again, it is true that the clients are not just letting us know what the budget is up front, which makes it difficult on our end. So that's why we get, as we talked about prior, we give a laundry list of talent in primary.
Yeah, absolutely.
We can choose.
So yeah, but my takeaway from that, Carl, is you know to be clear and be a team player as far as price, and also just say yeah, I'm willing to work with this. And if you're not, don't say that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I'm certainly always willing to work with the producer or the client as far as that. Do you put in your contracts? I know some producers do. Which doesn't matter to me either way, because I always, you know, respect the etiquette of it. They put, you know, it says right in there, cannot contact clients for at least a period of 2 or 3 years after, you know, to book anything through the things like
we
that.
We have a clause, and we say that if you do book an event with our client, that you should be sending us a commission, as Barry said.
Absolutely.
That he did with a different producer.
Absolutely.
That's etiquette.
Man,
right,
that's one.
Sure.
That's one of the funnest checks to write in mail is to a producer that doesn't know it's coming. And yeah, I love that. Times I've done that. So.
Yeah, I've done that before.
It's usually followed up by a nice.
For my first, so I'm not sure. If...
What's that?
Hopefully that just hasn't happened. I'm still looking for my first check from somebody.
That's probably because your clients like you and come back to you, Carl. I think there's probably a good connection there.
I'm just kidding. I'm hoping that, and we do look at that too. I mean, as far as who we recommend, if we feel like it's a someone that's going to be loyal and ethical, we'll definitely keep you on the forefront of that laundry list when we're sending out to clients.
And that's a great point that we didn't mention before is, I mean, you create the laundry list, you put them in an order, you know, it's a benefit to being in that person. I know this producer, Blanche Powell, is the biggest memory I have of writing a check to and sending it to her. And she was just like, you will always be on my recommendation list. It was never, a real surprise to her. So, yeah.
If it wasn't for that first gig, you wouldn't have had the second gig. So
nah.
It's only right.
Client told me directly, we saw you in Colorado Springs at the petroleum tools meeting. So yeah. So at that point, I'm going, okay, this is not my gig. They did not find me on Google AdWords. So hey, good. We got a bunch of questions lined up. Are you all right with questions, Carl?
Sure.
Good. Perfect.
Okay. We will move on to, I think, Laura, you had your hand up next.
Okay, I have two questions for you, if you don't mind. My first question is, when new talent is coming up to you and asking if you'd be interested, would you want recommendations from their current agent?
From their current agent, meaning like an exclusivity agent?
Oh, no. One that, maybe is in a different market, like maybe they're a cruise ship agent when you're doing corporate entertainment.
So really, I hear you asking, Laura, any other producers, any other people who produce work for them.
Absolutely. I mean, I would certainly write that in an email or in a conversation that we might have, or say, hey, I work with, several agents or producers. Here, and I think I mentioned that earlier. I know a lot of them. We go to a lot of the same, association shows and things like that, showcases. So I know a lot of them. I'm good friends with a lot of them, and it's always great to know if you're working with someone that I know.
Awesome.
It's a small world out there for us.
Definitely.
Yeah, it is definitely a small world.
Yeah.
And I also have a question about the types of acts. Is there a type of act that you're like, oh man, we've got to get another magician, or jugglers are really popular this year, or maybe it's just kind of the whim of the client.
Yeah, I wish I had a better answer than it's just whatever our clients are looking for at the time. I mean, this year, I look at what we're doing. I mean, I have everything from Cirque acts to magicians to show bands out there. So I mean, mm-hmm. it's we put ourselves out there for our clients that we can really deliver just about any kind of entertainment that they might be looking for.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of times they're looking for something unique. And I know, you know, magicians, you think that a magician is a magician, but how can I show them that it's not, and that you're very unique at doing what you're doing? I'm not sure if you're a magician, but
she's unique, but not a magician.
I roll out a hammer ball, I juggle, I hang from aerial fabric, you know, just the usual.
Usual stuff.
She
spends a lot of time in a big 6-foot hamster ball. It's nice.
Yeah, great. I mean, some of that unique stuff like that, I'm telling you, and it's hard to find in different markets. So, feel free to contact me, and that goes to anyone else out there, Barry. I hope that's okay.
Please, oh my gosh. I want people to be able to practice everything we've done here as far as getting in touch with people, how they contact producers, what they say to them, you know, how the conversation goes. I mean, Carl's offering a place to practice and talk to, and I think that's just a gift for everyone here, yeah.
That's a great drawing, Gary.
Isn't that something?
Is that on your promotional material?
This is Laura. Let me out. No.
Oh, sorry. Was I supposed to say something else?
No. I did some on the screen.
I just wanted to thank you for the answers. That was very helpful. Thank you.
Absolutely. No, I was being immature and drawing you in a hamster ball, Laura. You'll see it on the replay. Sorry about that.
Oh, okay. I see. I was on your PM Productions page.
Okay, good.
Oh, okay. Which is changing soon.
Yep.
That's
right. He's got a whole new thing going on, too. Good. I'll stop drawing. And Sarah, who's up?
Yeah, we've got several more questions here. Let's see. Dale, I think you were next, if your voice is still holding out for us.
Yeah. Hey, Carl. It's Dale, the magical balloon dude here.
Hey, Dale. How are you, man?
Doing good.
Besides your throat hurting.
Yeah, it's shot. Hey, the question I was going to ask was, when were you updating your website? Because I got new material I'd like to get on the site. That's stuff that you have
actually
already is quite old.
Get it to me as soon as possible, because we're actually launching this week at some point. I'm not going to make any announcements until probably next week. You know, I'll send out a little email to my clients letting them know that it's been updated, and so we can make some tweaks on it once it's live. But absolutely, send it out to me as soon as possible.
All right, that'll be on top of my list in your inbox tomorrow morning.
Good,
great.
If you understood what I said.
Yeah, something about tomorrow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Good. Thanks, Dale.
Okay. We have, let's see, Fitz. You are on now.
Hey, Fitz.
Yeah, I had a question about, and this is kind of a general question. Sorry about the noise in the background. Is there a standard percentage that you guys take? I know here in Phoenix, acts that book for $1,500, and I know they're charging the client $5,000. I know it's not common, but it does happen here. I'm just wondering, you know, what the normal rate would be.
Yeah, producers, and I've heard, you know, there's a lot of stories. I have good relationships with a lot of my talent, and I've heard, where things get really out of hand, because there's sometimes I'm working with an event planner who's selling it to the client. So I mean, I'm marking up the price. They're marking up the price, and by the time it gets to the end client, it's tripled the commission on top. At times, it depends on what the pricing of the act is. I mean, if it's a high priced act, we're trying to get 10 to 15%. If it's in the 5 to 10%, 15 to 20% at times, but never try to go any higher than that. There's really no reason to.
Yeah, but what you bring up is. Oh, go ahead, Fitz. I'm sorry. I'll jump in at the end.
You mentioned 25% commission a lot. Is that kind of what you guys use? And do you find that to be, I don't know. I'm not sure where I'm going with this.
Yeah. A lot of speakers' bureaus are typical 25%. Now, Carl's and Speakers Bureau's work more on a gross fee, and then you pay them a 25% commission. Producers such as at PM Productions, those guys will do, you know, mainly, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Carl, but, you know, I'm sure, you know, almost all your contracts are buy-sell. You buy the act for one price, sell it for another. So
right.
your thing is right. More based on the performer's fee, and then you'll add your 10, 15, or 15, 20% on that you sell to your client. And then what he said is often there's... Yeah, please go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was just saying there are a few acts that I work with frequently that like to keep their pricing at one particular, you know, so it doesn't matter if I call them or the end client calls them. Their price is $10,000. Now, if I call them, they right then and there, they'll tell me that I'm going to commission you back 20%.
Yep.
So I have that, or, you know, so next year, if that same client calls the panel directly for whatever reason, they're still paying that $10,000 or getting quoted that. So it's not like, you know, why is the pricing different?
Amen.
Most of my talent that I do buy is a buy-sell. I buy it at one price, and I try to get the 20% on top of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is where we can get into a huge amount of trouble by playing with our price. You know, God forbid ever somebody calls Carl Peterson's office and they quote 13.5 for an act, and then that same people calls or emails the act directly, and that act says, oh, 10K. I mean, always have a producer price and end client price, and stick to that. Stick to your guns on that until you raise your price, and then make that known to all your producers when they call you for a price. And I even tell a producer, I'll tell Carl when he calls, I say, you know, we'll net 10K, and just so you know, in case anyone ever calls me directly, they're going to hear 13.5. I mean, I just put it right out there.
Yep, that's great way of doing it.
Real clean with that. I don't mess around in that world. That's the worst thing in the world to, you know, have a producer lose a client or something for $1,000. You'd be going, oh, well, I'm such a moron. Yeah, that's a bad moment. Good. Is that clear on your price fits?
That answered that question.
Excellent.
Yeah, yeah, that was great.
Great.
Thank you.
Yeah, really good. Good input.
Okay, we have Brian. I think you've had your hand up for a little bit.
It's got to be tired by now. Hey, Brian.
Hi. I'm Brian Glow. I'm an illusionist. We actually, because of the marketplace, I've got a very large-scale illusion show, but because of all the years of working at it, I have several different versions of it that are smaller, medium-sized, or very largest, and even having one-man shows, several of those. And with each of those, we've got price lists for producers with ranges. And I'm not sure how you guys use it, but for a one-man show, for instance, I normally get 10, but, you know, we're willing to do 5 especially because of the economy and things. For the illusion shows, some of those are guided by the fact that you've got X amount of people that you've got to haul around, and it makes it for a little more difficult situation when you're, you know, bidding on a $25,000 show and you've got a $50,000, you know, payroll.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So, right.
So we've had to have all kinds of different ranges. And again, like Barry said, for end users, we have like a top price, so if anyone calls, we're going to give them the top end price and then negotiate from there. So I guess my question is are you okay with when I send, if I can send you price ranges, that we do that as a range and say, look, we're flexible in this amount, because especially in the larger shows, we have less flexibility just because of costs.
Yeah, ranges is fine. I mean, it... Am I still on here?
Yes, you are, sure.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, it sounded like something happened there. And I understand that. I mean, as a magician, you might know Bob Higa, who I work with frequently. He has ranges for his shows, and what he actually gives to me to help me sell his act is an explanation of what those ranges are and what to expect for those. How many illusions and things like that. So absolutely, it's instead of tying yourself into one price range at 15,000, if you can do something in the $10,000 to $5,000 range, and what you get and what the differences are, by all means, have that range for us.
Yeah.
In fact, we have exactly the same kind of setup, because we want to be open and transparent to our producers for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
If they can't sell us, it's kind of silly, and we don't want to get into a situation where we say, oh, we thought we were getting this, and they weren't.
Right.
I guess, more importantly, the... oh, I lost my train of thought. Sorry about that.
Sorry about that.
I had make
sure you have any kind of shipping fees included, or at least noted. You know, it's $10,000 plus shipping of whatever you might need to ship to the show.
Right, that's what I was going to ask.
Oh, nice.
When we're doing the shows, a lot of times there's the extraneous expenses of transportation of people and shipping of equipment. And how do we approach that with a company like you? We say, look, if we do this show, it's going to be probably this much to ship it, and it's going to have this many people and whatever the airfares are.
What I normally ask for is what is it going to cost our office to bring you to an event? You got your performance fee and shipping fee. I like to look at travel separately. That's how we do it here. You know, we'll look at we'll just say plus travel, or sometimes we might even just book, you know, include all that up into one. Feed them to our client to say, here's the show includes, you know, 60 minutes, two illusions, the travel and everything is included. And that way they don't have to be concerned about anything else. It's, you know, there's no variables to our clients. They know, okay, I'm paying $20,000 for this and includes everything, and that's and everything's taken care of.
Right. And okay, so that was good to know. Especially, I guess my uniqueness is that I produce a lot of custom illusions for events. If Blockbuster wanted a horse to magically appear with John Antiocho on it in Vegas in front of 5,600 people in a desert, we'll do that. and no questions asked, and here's what it's going to cost, and then you never know what it's going to ship for at that point. You have to guess.
Right. Was that the $5,000 show?
Yes.
Yeah, that was the consulting fee.
without the horse. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Thanks, Brian. Really good good questions about breaking down the details and you know. Yeah. And you know, you said I like to be transparent with producers. I mean, I can't think of any better word to summarize the relationship with a producer. Maybe be transparent, be honest, be in integrity, and let them sell you. You know, let them do their thing.
And for the record, Barry, because I know there's a lot of people out there doing what we do here. We try to be the same way. You know, it works both ways. We want to be transparent to our talent as well and fair to them. I've heard, again, I think I mentioned this, horror stories where, you know, you go back to the talent and say, hey, you know, I only have $5,000. Do you want to take it? And then the talent finds out later the client paid $25,000. That's not how we work here.
Yeah,
no. I'd recommend not working with people that do that.
Yeah.
There was another point I wanted to make about that. Oh, it just proves it'll help us in a relationship, because I can come back to you and say, you know, Barry, I really only have $10,000 on this show, and it's got to include travel. Mm-hmm. Do you want to do it?
Yeah.
And this way I can go to you, and you can feel that we're being honest with you as well. That we're not trying to take advantage of the fact that you're not working that night.
Absolutely.
So it does work both ways.
It really does. And, you know, another thing that could possibly come up, and I'm not trying to rescue anyone. I know there's people that do, you know, offer a show for $5,000 and then sell it for $15,000 or $20,000. You know, they're out there. Sure, you're not one of them. I know that very well. And another piece that, as an act, we may not know about, and you alluded it to earlier, you know, there might be four or five hands in that pie.
Right.
You know, between a DMC and an agent and a producer and then a, you know, whole overall event producer, it's just quite possible that, you know, everyone's adding a little bit on. So,
right, yeah,
right.
That does happen.
Yeah.
But if you're going to one producer and they're selling it to the client and there's no one in between and you see it's, you know, four times your fee, that's not ethical on our parts as a producer.
Absolutely. Hey, Carl, I know I asked you to do an hour. There's three more questions with hands up. Can you do those? And then we'll, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, we have Charles. You're on now.
Hey, Charles.
Yeah, Carl, I just want to say how great this session was. All the calls, I think, is the most important one to me to actually, because this is my next step is going to producer. So I want to thank you. But also, my question is, how often do clients come to you that, of course, they probably have worked with you at this point, but how often have they just given you a budget and saying, this is an idea, just hire the right people, just put it together.
Yeah.
And it's on your plate. And does that work out well for you usually?
Great question.
That might have happened years ago. but it's not a trend of clients being detached from the events.
Yeah.
They want to be involved. They want to see videos. They want to see the act live sometimes. It just doesn't happen very frequently. I'm trying to think of one example in the last few years where that's happened, where they just said, "Here, make it happen."
Right.
No,
I just didn't know
their jobs
that was
are
that was going on or not.
A lot of those people that work for corporations, their job is on the line as well, or at least they feel that way, to the point where they're very hands-on. At some point, too hands-on.
Yeah.
They don't trust what we've been doing for the last 20 years.
Yeah.
But they're going to have to go back to their office the next day or on that next weekend and have to look their boss in the eye and say, yes, this was my call, and it's our job as producers, and of course your job as the talent to make them look like to use the old line, make them look like a hero. That's our job, is to make them look as good as possible, so that they come back to us again.
Interesting. And it's funny,
they would sometimes just trust you.
I know, exactly. That's what I was going to say. You know, they'd be better off to do that. And for that, you know, maybe someone who's in an executive assistant, all of a sudden for a couple of weeks, they're going to play the part of an expert and speak for the group and speak for the team. And if it goes well, yeah, they get to be the hero. And I imagine they don't want to be that person if it doesn't go well.
They blame the producer sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. Then they blame you. Oh, man.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever had to talk an act? Have you talked a client out of an act before, Carl? Have you ever had to just say this isn't right for your group?
I probably have.
Yeah.
Barry, I can't.
Not real memorable.
Example.
Yeah. Yeah. Fine. Yeah.
But I probably have said that's not the greatest choice for you.
Yep.
For whatever reason, I was going to mention I do have a very very good client that I do a lot of work with that. Used to, to say, okay, here's what we're looking for, make it happen. There was good direction, but they would trust our choices of what we came to them with.
I bet,
That seems like the best formula an idea and they give you a budget and let you run.
Yeah.
Yeah, over the past few years, though, the same client, I mean, it doesn't matter if I'm booking something small to large scale. They want promo and headshots and video, and I'm like, it was crazy when they first started asking for it, but their budget got scrutinized, and they want to know exactly what they're buying and what they're getting.
Interesting.
And that's better for me. I mean, I don't want to show up with some surprise and have them like you mentioned blame the producer for not delivering what they needed.
Yeah. Did you have something else, Charles?
No, that was perfect.
Perfect. Hey, good. Great question. Really good. Thanks. Who's up, Sarah? Oh, we got a.
Now.
I think someone else jumped in.
We got a couple.
Someone else jumped in. I think we have to hold the questions, and we'll do a little follow-up piece with Carl. I don't want to push him past.
Okay.
And I want to just say real quickly.
You may go ahead and hold.
We're going to end with Carl at the top of the hour, as I promised him a few years ago. And we are going to go a little bit longer than that because I have. You know what? I'm going to see how that's going at the top. Never mind. Go ahead, Sarah.
Okay. Tom, I had you up next. Your mic is on.
Okay, fantastic. Carl,
hey,
I just want to say thank you for your time today. I have two questions, actually, for you. The first was you mentioned showcases. I've done fair and festival showcases. What type of showcases are you talking about, and where can I find them?
Now, I'm speaking of some of the industry trade shows, whether that be one of the organizations I belong to was IACEP, which is the International Association of Event Producers, American, what's that, that new one that just spun off of that?
Yeah, I know there's ISIS is another one I've done a few times, special
event. Yeah, Event Solutions.
TSE.
Special Events is actually going on right now.
Yep, the special event.
I'm not sure how much showcasing that is, but for talent, that those two, the first two that I mentioned, is where I've actually met a lot of good talent for the first time, and it's a good opportunity for you to be out there.
Excellent. Second question I have, which I'm sure everybody on the call is interested in, who would we send our material to if we wanted you to take a look at it?
You can send it directly to me. Barry, I'm not sure
yep.
if you're going to...
Sarah will put that up right after this call. Definitely use your email address
yeah,
on it.
And I would appreciate, again, going, even though we've talked on this call here, I certainly would appreciate a phone call, or an email. You know, if you prefer to do it that way. But I like a phone call. If I don't pick up, at least leave a message and say, we spoke on the call today or yesterday, whatever the case might be. This is who I am. This is what I do. I'd like to send some information out. I'll follow up with an email. If you can let us know where. To send that out, or Barry, if you have our address.
Yep, we got it.
You can leave that with them as well.
Yeah, we'll send you all that.
Okay, I appreciate your time, Carl. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Tom.
Yeah,
great.
And by all means, after you send that information, and I think that was something, Barry, that we talked about. I don't necessarily need hard copies of promotional material.
Yep.
It just piles up.
Oh, yeah.
Electronic is great. You know, if you're familiar with Dropbox or other services that might be out there for video, that's the best for us. This way, we have it on file. If there's a client that's looking for something, and I have your bio and a video that I can shoot out to them, that's perfect.
Yeah.
So, you know, hard you know materials and folders and video DVDs. Great to have if that's what you need to do, but again, it's not necessary.
Great to have in case someone asks for it, but yeah, certainly not a first stage of introduction.
Yeah.
Good. Right. Wonderful. Thanks, Tom. Good questions.
Okay, and did we have time for Niels? He was the last one who had his hand up earlier. And
okay.
Is that fine? Okay.
Yes.
You're on, Niels.
Hello. Thanks for all the information. I was wondering, because you mentioned also talent from outside the United States, in Canada. I live in Europe, and compared to all the fees that are going on into this discussion, actually a flight from Europe to the United States or anywhere in the world, it's pretty small compared to the fee. So what's your opinion, your view on working with acts outside the United States?
I work with acts in Canada. I've worked with some acts right in and around Montreal. I've brought them into Montreal. But I haven't really, to be honest with you, flown acts in from Europe. I haven't had that need. I don't know if it's cost effective. I don't know. I'm sorry. Hate to end our call or close to our call on something I just can't answer, but don't have an answer for you as far as you know, bringing talent in from Europe into the States for a show.
Yeah, this guy's he's doing quite well in his career, so I'm not going to cry for him. But you know, and I appreciate that question, Nels. It sounds like it's something you're gonna look at. And I know you've got certain blocks of your time. You want to be in America and make those connections. So you know, that may be the best way to do it.
Okay, cool.
Look for times when you're here in the country. And then just keep kicking butt in the rest of the world like you do. That's great. Good. So we a few more minutes. Hey, Benjamin, you have your hand up. Is this a short one? Could you do it kind of quick. We have about three.
No, it's Brian.
What's that? That's Brian?
Brian.
Oh, that's Brian. Yeah, do a follow-up then, Brian.
Okay. If you're on, Brian.
Sorry about that.
No problem.
You answered the question about the conventions and the Dropbox. I wrote it down and now I blew it. Sorry.
Yeah, nah, no problem. It's all good stuff. So.
If I could just go back to what we were talking about before.
You bet.
And this works with people, some of the acts that I work with that live in the States, but if you're outside of the States and you know you're going to be in a certain area, there's a couple of acts that are out in California that come out to the Midwest, and they're like, hey, we're going to be here if you have a client that might be looking for something. We might be able to reduce the cost, at least get rid of the travel.
Yeah.
Let me know if we can piggyback on something else that you've already booked, or if you're going to be in different areas of the States. Because by all means, we just don't work here in Chicago. We work all over. So if you're going to be out in an area and you're looking to pick up another date, shoot me an email. I might not might not work out, but
yep.
It's happened for us before.
Perfect. Yeah, that does work. It's certainly worked for me before to add on. We've talked about some techniques of even looking at trade shows. Once you have a booking and it's 6 months out, man, the world's your playground to look what else is happening in that town.
Right.
Great thing to do. Yeah. Good. Wow. Carl, thank you. We beat an hour, and I know we were wondering on the phone how we'd do that, and it's no problem. I have about eight more questions, and I'm not going to get into it. I feel like we have done this really well in just such a good way. You shared such gems and given things to me that I didn't even know, and I've worked with you and worked with producers. So I just want to thank you so much.
Sure. It's been my pleasure. I hope it's been informative, and I appreciate being on the call.
Yeah.
Good luck to everybody.
Oh, you know what? Hold on. Brian did remember his thing, I think. Go ahead, Brian.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, real fast. Real fast. Tech riders. Do you want us to send those with estimates and or the pricing? Because different shows have different requirements. Or is that?
Yeah, I would say if we don't know each other yet, either way. I mean, if you send the tech requirements, that's fine. A lot of times, once we get to know each other or if I call you and say, are you, available for this date and stuff, what's your fee again? And then what I normally do is price it out to my client is this plus the tech writer.
Okay.
Or travel writer or whatever the case might be. So then we can talk once we know what the fee is, we can look at that tech writer as well. If it's something very intricate and very costly, make sure that when we do talk or you talk with a producer that your tech writer, you have some specific needs and you want to make sure that you share that with the producer before they quote their client.
That's great. I mean, it's really flexible tech, so
yeah.
I'm okay.
Good to know.
Yeah.
All right.
And that's just adding on to that, the more flexible you are with your tech writer and your travel writer, the better. I mean, there's always things that you'd like to have, but if it's not possible, if the client doesn't have the budget for it, if they don't have the budget for the spot in the back of the room or whatever the case might be, I know that sounds ridiculous, but I've been there and I've had to go to the talent and say, do you mind? And if you're flexible, that's great.
I'll work with flashlights.
Exactly. there's always times in the business to be specific, and there's times to go real flexible. And corporate events, everyone is in an unusual environment for the first time, and everyone's trying to make it work. So it's the ultimate arena for flexibility in my eyes after a lot of years in this world. And we know what we get when we go to a theater or a casino. We don't know what we get when we go to the, Minneapolis Crystal Ballroom. It just doesn't happen. So we do it.
Right. Absolutely.
Good. All right. Carl, thanks 100 times, man. I really appreciate it. Sarah's going to take you into the debriefing room, and I'm going to continue on. You're welcome to hang out with us if you'd like. And thanks just so much. Okay. Appreciate it.
All
Yep, my pleasure. Good luck, everyone.
Great. Thank you.